Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
I've had an interesting week. Anybody else have an interesting week besides the five people that raised their hands earlier? I've had a supernatural week, and in actual fact, every week is supernatural. I think sometimes we take it for granted, but the fact that your heart's beating within your chest is a supernatural act of God. Come on, somebody say amen. I'm so grateful that former President Trump wasn't shot. Is there anybody else that's grateful for that? Kind of hard to imagine as things roll out. Absolutely a sovereign act of God's protection. And I'd have to think, has anybody come close to death? Anybody been spared of death? And you knew that, like, I just thought that I should have died. Anybody, you know what happens right after that? You remember? You're instantly like, oh God, you know that he is thinking, dreaming, worshiping. He knows that he has had a divine, I'm guarantee you, he knows that he's had a divine intervention from God. And I just believe that something miraculous is happening. I don't look to the White House to bring revival. We look to the church house for that. And we're experiencing an unprecedented release of God's power. We're seeing so many people saved, so many people healed, so many people delivered. I had a dream. I shared it in morning prayer. It was not last night, but it was the night before. Fascinating dream, very short, very powerful. I was picked up by two men that I knew were angels. This is a dream. I didn't drink any blood, praise the Lord. I was picked up by two men that I knew were angels. It's an indescript picked up. What does that mean? It's like I got in a vehicle, but we really didn't go anywhere. But it felt like I was in a car or something. And I knew there were angels. It's almost like if you saw a king in plain clothes, but underneath you saw a little bit of the shining royal mail that he would be wearing, like that. It was like that. Like, I knew there were angels. I knew that they knew everything. And I knew I was being visited by them, and they came to talk to me. And so they looked at me with this shining joy and said, "So, tell us, where do you stand regarding the things of the kingdom and supernatural provision?" And my answer was not the right answer. And when it came out of my mouth, I knew it was not the right answer. And I got so lovingly rebuked. I got so spanked in such a beautiful way. I've never really experienced such a great rebuke from the Lord that felt so wonderful. What do you mean? It was filled with hope. It was this loving correction. See, when God speaks to you and he asks you something, and maybe you don't pass a test, or he asks you to do something, you're like, oops, you blow it. You know, it wasn't a willful thing out of the evil of your heart. He just shows you. Well, you know why he did that? He did that so you can get it right, so he can release what he's asking you. And I knew when they're asking me, where do you stand regarding the things of the kingdom and supernatural provision? Listen to my answer. It sounds so arrogant, but it didn't come out that way. But as I think about it, I say, that's like a schoolboy answer. Wrong answer. I said, I pastor Kings, the church on the hill. And they just smiled at me. I thought, wrong answer. Dream's over. I wake up in my room, same pattern. I have this pattern. It's been happening for at least 7, 8, maybe 9 years. Gosh, I guess it's longer than that. I don't know. Is anybody, the same five people, do you recognize that time goes by rather quickly? Anybody? All right. I think it seems like 5 years is really 10, and then 10 is really more like 20. And so I've had this pattern, I think it's now it's probably a decade at least, where I have a dream and I wake up in my room and God's in my room. The level of God's power and presence in my room is the level of importance and a revelation of the dream, if I could just say it that way. So I wake up, he's in my room. I'm like, Lord. He's like, yeah. I'm like, okay. And I realize that the Lord doesn't stand over things because of your opinion. He releases his power, he releases miracles, he releases divine provision, he releases healing. It's all based upon the word. It's all based upon the word of God. He stands over his word. So if where do you stand regarding the kingdom? The right answer and divine provision, the right answer is to begin to give scripture of what God says about divine provision and the kingdom of God. That's the right answer. That's not what came out of my spirit immediately. It was almost like, well, of course I believe in divine provision because we built this building. And I felt like the Lord said, that's not what I was looking for, which I knew as soon as it came out of my mouth. And I was lovingly corrected to begin to go to another level of understanding in God's word, not only in divine provision, but in every area. Miracles, signs, and wonders. Say signs, wonders, and miracles. Say that. Signs, wonders, and miracles. I then end up, we had an appointment with this tremendous prophetess that day. And we went, walked into her house and walked into like a cloud of God's presence. You can tell when somebody's constantly in prayer, their home is constantly filled with worship. It's a very different atmosphere. Anybody ever show up to someone's house and they just had a fight? Am I the only one? You walk in, you feel like, oh, feels awkward, feels like something's wrong. Yeah, because they just had a fight, and now you're there. Oh, pastor's here. Oh, hi. And it's just like, oh, yeah. But the same is true when you walk in and you feel the peace of God, the presence of God, the power of God. I can tell in homes that people pray and people worship. It's a big difference. He said, I'm never inviting you to my house. That's okay. We sat down for I don't know how long, 2.5 hours, and this precious lady, we talked and shared and got to know each other, Pastor Karen and I, and she began to prophesy the very things that God has been speaking to me the whole previous week, and it was a supernatural sign and a wonder, and I'm not all that surprised by that because that is how the kingdom of God is expressed in the earth. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, go there. One more in introduction. I was talking with somebody who was telling me about someone who was teaching the word. And it's like the idea was that teaching word, there was the pinnacle of church, like that the word would be taught. There is a separation across America between people teaching and people demonstrating, and it was never that way in scripture. Demonstration, teaching, and preaching, they go hand in hand. If you're ever in a place where somebody's teaching and there's no demonstration, no release, no power, no signs, no wonders, no miracles, something's wrong. All right, are you ready? Stand up on your feet, would you? Take your Bibles, turn. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1. I still feel echoey and weird, but it might be me. Nevertheless, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1. Here we go. You ready? New International Version. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters, when I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise, persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power. Let's read that again. Verse 4. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Let's pray. Father, move in power in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. That is totally contrary to so much that's out there in church growth circles without naming names. There's so much about, you know, you need to dress right. You need to look right. The lights need to be right. The haze needs to be right. Not too much. Lyrics need to be right. The sound needs to be right. And preaching, don't preach long. That's the one that has just chapped my hide recently. Anybody know what the chapping of the hide is? Don't preach long. I've known people that preach long and they should have stopped within the first 5 minutes. And then I've been in services, I wish they were longer. And there's a framework across America that you can get people in church, have service for an hour and 15 minutes, and then let it go, and that's enough for people, and you don't want to wear them out, and you don't want to tire them, and don't worship too long, because when you're worshiping too long, then what happens is the older people's knees start hurting, ankles start hurting, parts of their body start aching. Good save. And then they have to stand because they don't want anybody, they don't want to be embarrassed for having to sit down. Let me just tell you, read my white lips right now. If we're worshiping long, which we might do, feel free to sit down. Feel free to lay down. Feel free to do whatever you want to that's, you know, in order. Running around the church would qualify in order. I might follow you. If you did another lap, I was right behind you, sister. It's good to run. Some of you need to run. You're so uptight. You got it all in a bunch and you need to be set free. I don't know what it all is, but. So let me just say, if we're worshiping long, you need to stand up or sit down or lie down. I don't care. I want to allow for God to move in our church in a greater way than he ever has. And I found this. I found that many times he'll move in whatever area or whatever room we give him. Pastor Vince, you did a wonderful job sharing the word, and I love hearing from you. And okay, there came a time when I stood up and I came to the front. That was a beginning clue that I wanted you to start to conclude. We do that to God. We do that, churches do that to the Lord. And he's just like Pastor Vince, he's gracious. Anything else? No, praise the Lord. I'm gonna pray. We flow a little bit. It's good. We have little clues, keys that we use, you know, with worship, and they know, like, take it easy. If I put my hand out like this, it's like, okay, chill. This is flow. I have some of my own sign language. This is the fist of death, which means stop. End. So if you've been in church for any length of time, there's a little sign language that happens. I think the Lord can see our hearts as sign language to him of when we want him to move or when we're longing for him and where we just like, how long are you going to go for? Because it's 8:04 right now. And really, we only have about 25 minutes before, you know, the children's church workers need to be delivered from your beautiful children. And so that gives me 20 minutes. Is that right? Not necessarily. We can go longer, and they're very gracious and patient out there. My point is, church should never just be some teaching and just some preaching, and then you just go home, and there's no effect and no change. Life group leaders, it should not be that way. And I've been a life group leader. Raise your hand if you're a life group leader. We'll have 200 life groups. We'll have 200 life groups in the fall by the power of God in the name of Jesus. Can you say 200? All right. I've been a life group leader, worked construction all day, and then it's like Thursday night, it's time for your life group. And I've been at the place where it's just like you get your notes and, you know, you get your wife or you get your husband or you get your kids and you put them all up in the car and then you drive to the host home and you're like, oh God, just, Lord, can we just go short today because I'm tired? Oh, is that just me? Liars go to hell, you know. I hope pastor doesn't preach long. I hope the worship's not too long. I've got to get up at 4 a.m. You know, what's amazing is that the Lord can like give you supernatural rest. There is so many structures out there that try to shut down the power of God, that try to limit signs and wonders and try to reduce the church to this weak, anemic TED talk that doesn't release power, it doesn't change lives, it doesn't break night terrors, doesn't get the lost saved, doesn't get people healed, and I refuse to go there. And I found over recent years being pressed by something other than the Lord. Maybe it's my flesh. We want to be excellent. But you know, excellence can be a god. The church began in power, moved forward in power. The church is supposed to have power, signs and wonders and miracles. So I want to take you on just a little bit of a journey tonight and talk about signs, wonders, and miracles. The power of God, the power of the kingdom is expressed in the early church. It should be expressed now. And the truth is, in your life, if you don't have signs and wonders and miracles, something's wrong. So I don't have signs, wonders, and miracles. Well, then ask why. Don't make up some bunk theology that, you know, just went away with the apostles, because that's not true. Go to Mark 16, verse 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. That is what happens. That's what happens when the word goes forth. When there's church, when you're witnessing, when you're driving your car, when you're at Fred Meyer's, when you're at Target, wherever you go, in the sauna maybe, there should be a release of God's power. And you don't have to be a freakadoodle. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, you don't know. So I'll explain. It was Christmas time. I was at the post office in Wasilla. The line went forever. Anybody know what I'm talking about? There is like an audience of people just going all the way through. And I was there waiting for an hour, I think. I finally get to the front. I know the postmaster guy. And I say, hey, how's it going? Oh, good, praise God, what are you doing? Oh, just sending some packages, da, 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 da. And this person comes up to me, who was not a part of our church, but knew me, that I was a pastor, comes up to me and says, Pastor Dan, just out of the crowd, just walks up, cuts right in front, comes to me while I'm doing a transaction. Pastor Daniel. I'm like, yeah. She goes, oh! I'm like, oh, God. And the postmaster guy's like, and everyone in the line's like, ugh! And people are looking. And then if one wasn't enough, go, oh, one more. Oh, I'm like, God, oh, jeez. Then she says, the Lord says, my son, and gives me this word that was, the funny thing was, half of it was way off and the other half was God. And she gave a shandai and a shake and headed out the door. And she walked off and I looked at the guy. He says, well, praise the Lord. I said, praise God. I don't think you have to be like that. I think you can be supernaturally natural. And so oftentimes we have fruits, nuts, and flakes, and that's the way it has to be if you're going to deliver some great miracle, sign, and wonder. No, you can be naturally, supernaturally you. Come on, bump your neighbor and say you're supernaturally natural. Acts 2 and 43, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs are performed by the apostles. Go to Acts 5. What I'm going to try to do here tonight is to show you that there should be no separation. There should be no separation from teaching and preaching and demonstration. It all goes together. And if you look in the book of Acts, you see how Luke, who wrote Acts, talks to Theophilus and says, oh, dear Theophilus, I wrote to you about all that Jesus began to do and teach and do. He would do both. And if all you do is listen to teaching and all you do is teach, but you don't actually do it, you'll end up actually a twisted Christian. You'll be distorted. And that's why the church is filled with unbelieving believers, where they say they hear about the miracles, but it never happens in their own life. Your children should see you pray for the miracle and should see it delivered to your doorstep. Your kids, your wife, your husband, you should put God on display by standing on his word and let him show up and teach your kids about the miracle power of God. Over and over and over and over, by God's grace, Pastor Karen and I have tried to bring our children into situations and circumstances that were weighty without, well, you have to discern what kind of weight your kid can carry, because not every kid can carry the full weight of what, your kids cannot carry the full weight of what you're carrying. But you can share samples of it, if I can say it that way, and get them to agree in prayer. And in doing that, when they see the miracle, they'll say, we prayed for that. We prayed for that thing. I'm like, that's right. And what does that do? That builds faith. And they hear you worshiping and they hear you weeping before the Lord. I mean, how many stories have we heard of the wayward son and his mother praying and interceding? You have a story like that, right? Your mom would intercede. Pastor Austin, Pastor Jennifer, we're so glad you're with us. Moved down from Nome, and they're here in Wasilla, some of the finest people in the world. We love you. Your kids need to see that. People need to see that. One of the things I love about our congregation here is we face an insurmountable odd that if God didn't show up, that we were dead meat. How many of you know that? Okay, some of you don't know. Some of you don't know that when you take on a building project like this, we didn't have a big fund and Pepsi didn't build the building. We did it by faith. God did it by faith. And it will one day be paid off and I will burn the mortgage here and I'll be doing multiple laps, multiple, maybe around the whole building. And then I'll fall out in one of our brand new garden, one of our brand new hedges, I think. Y'all seen the landscaping? Hallelujah. We have air conditioning now, hallelujah. Soon we'll have proper church signage and different things. We're moving forward in faith and God's providing all the way along. I'm so blessed to have been a part of it with you. Some of you just got here and I'm glad you did. Others of you were came from when we had the barn way back when. The prophecy from Cindy Jacobs in 2002. I'll paraphrase. You will build a beautiful building on that property. And people will drive by and they'll accuse you of pride, but they'll say, my goodness, isn't it beautiful? And they won't be able to help themselves but to pull in and come. And the money is there and the architect is there and I'll give you favor with city officials. Does that sound right? Yeah, it's almost verbatim because I've read it and warred with it. Architects and city planners will come and people will come and it will be paid for and people give way beyond their time. 2002, I wasn't even the pastor. Pastor Ken Gable was, and we owned the property. A couple years later, we sold it. Well, what about the prophecy? What about it? We moved to Lucille Street and we were over there. That prophecy came across my desk in about 2007, I think, 2008. And then in 2014, we're able to buy this property back. Man, I busted that thing out. And I said, oh yeah. Oh yeah, here we go. It's gonna be so beautiful. It talked about building it around the altar, about the altar of prayer. And it's gonna be 24 hours, 7 days a week. I mean, it's this incredible word way before I even pastored the church. Signs, wonders, and miracles. Acts 5, are y'all there? Verse 12. The apostles performed many, how many? Many, many, many signs and wonders among the people. And all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them. Why not? Why would no one else dare join them? It's kind of like Pastor Vince when he went into the church. The fear of the Lord fell on him. Don't you take one more step. He's like, no problem. God's power was so real, so magnified, so put on display that are people like, dude, be careful over there. Something's going on over there. They talk about the Messiah over there and there's people that are healed and people were terrified. Where is that today? Where is that? Where is that awe and fear? So many people talk trash about the church. You know, you never want to talk trash about the church because you could actually put yourself on a list where you get crossed off and not by the church, by God. You don't ever mess with the church. If you don't understand it, just leave it to the Lord. It's his bride. He knows how to fix it. Amen. And there's a lot of churches that are messed up, but how many of you know that God can fix it? He's more concerned about the church than than you or I ever could be. And the Bible says that he builds his church and the gates of hell will not prevail. 1 Corinthians 3 says that if you basically destroy the temple, meaning the church, then God will destroy you. And that's a sign and a wonder, but you need to have the fear of the Lord about it. I don't mean just this church, every Bible believing, teaching, preaching church, whether they pray in tongues or not. If they're preaching the gospel, then you just bless them and pray and believe God for them, rejoice, amen. But I've known any, honestly, here's the honest truth. Anybody that ever came to cause us real harm no longer exists. Some are on some far side of the planet. Others are no longer with us. They died early deaths, which we wish on nobody. I'm telling you, there has to be a restoration of the fear of the Lord in the church. This is not a little religious game. God is real. He's on the throne and he deeply loves us and he wants to manifest his power, but you don't want to be in a place where you're standing against that. So they were afraid to join them. Go to Acts 6. Stephen, verse 8, man full of grace and power performed. Here's a non-apostle. I'd say he has an apostolic anointing, but he's not considered one of the apostles. He's one of the Grecian believers, a Grecian Jew who gets converted. And Stephen, a man full of grace and power, did great signs among the people. Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue of the freedmen. No, I'm sorry, Stephen, he's not a Jew. I'm thinking of Philip in Acts 8. He's a Jew, a Jewish believer. Man full of grace and power does these signs and wonders. He's the first martyr. He did signs and wonders. What are you saying? I'm challenging you. I'm challenging you to flow in signs and wonders. So if the angels show up in your dream tonight and say, so where do you stand with the kingdom of God? What's going to be your answer? Your answer needs to be the word of God in every area. That's it. Wow. So Stephen did signs and wonders. Go to Acts 8. Philip, this is a Grecian believer, Hellenistic believer. Philip went down to the city of Samaria, proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed. All paid close attention. Because this is not an apostle here. It's Philip. He was a waiter. You see Philip's name thrown in there when they had to bring the answer to the division in the church because the widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of the food. Philip is one of the ones that waited on tables. And here he is, the great evangelist to Samaria with signs and wonders. Why would God even do signs and wonders? It's normal for him. I've said it before, but there's an exit sign up there. Everybody look at the exit sign on the left-hand side of the church. There it is. See it all the way up front? Green. The green exit. Y'all see it? Very good. There's one over here too. In fact, there's one over every one of our doors. Why? Because the fire department made us put it there. You cannot go through that sign. It points to the door. That's the way signs are. Signs point to the door. They're not to be worshiped. They're not to be magnified. They just point to the fact that Jesus was crucified and rose again so that you don't have to be bound, so that you don't have to be addicted, so that you can be set free, so that you can be filled, so that you can have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Signs and wonders testify to the truth of the gospel, the good news. Jesus was crucified and rose again. And the sign, I'm not angry, it just sort of sounds that way. Signs and wonders point to the reality of that. Go to Acts 14. While you're going there, Acts 3. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. In the name of Jesus, rise up. Acts 14, verse 1. At Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual to the Jewish synagogue. They spoke, this is verse 1, Acts 14. They spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Greeks believed. Now, that's interesting if you study that. It's not that there was eloquence, there was effectiveness, there was God's power on their speech, which is, he's on my speech right now to a certain degree. There's an anointing, there's an unction, there's an enablement. It's not just words. Paul talking says to them, pray for me that when I speak, I may fearlessly make known the mystery, that God would give me words that I make known the mystery of the gospel. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Pray for me that words may be given. What's the matter, Paul? Did you bump your head when they hit you with those rocks? You can't get your words together? No, there's a different kind of words. There's anointed speech. And that's what this is. They spoke with such unction, such power, that people were, they were convinced and people believed. But the Jews who refused to believe, and by the way, there's always going to be people that don't believe. Jews who refused to believe stirred up others. And that's what crazy woke people will do. I said it. They'll do things that are nuts because they can't argue. You can't argue with signs and wonders. You can't argue with raising the dead. You can't argue with cancer disappearing, tumors falling off. You can't argue with a life that's transformed from somebody who was stone cold drunk alcoholic, totally delivered in one day, no longer night terror, starts going to church and becomes a pastor. How does that happen? God. Jesus Christ crucified, resurrected. That's what he does. Come on, Pastor Vince. That's what he does. And you can't argue with that. And there are demon spirits that stir people up. And I have no doubt that that's what's happened here. Stir up the Gentiles and poison their minds against their brothers. So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there. They didn't run. You know, sometimes you got to fight. I mean, do you think they stir up all these problems and so they spend considerable time? There's a time to turn. There's a time to fight. It's time to fight. I love that. I just love that. I love that from Trump. I do. I love it. I mean, you can't fake that kind of indomitable spirit. We know some folks that are, well, they're left. And just Trump haters. We don't hate anybody, including Biden. I don't hate Biden. I don't hate anybody. I'm a believer. Love people, but we stand up. I hate their policy. Amen. But literally, people say that it was staged and it was fake because, you know why? Here's one of the reasons why. Is there is no way in their mind, in their heart, that they could ever see actually somebody stand up having been shot for real and say, fight! That kind of a spirit doesn't even exist over on the left side. Unless it's demonically induced, I think. Hence the shooter. Boy, we need to pray like never before for America. So they spend considerable time there speaking boldly. Speaking how? That's not sheepishly. That's bold. That's bold. That's strong. They spoke boldly. For the Lord, who confirmed the message. What did God do? He confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to perform signs and wonders. How do you get away with, how can you get away from that? There is no teaching without demonstration. It's completely unbiblical. And in the 70s, there was this movement, you know, of teaching the word line upon line, precept upon precept, which we're all for. I'm all for context. I'm all for rightly dividing the word of truth. But for the love of God, at the end of some teaching, there needs to be a display of power. People saved, people healed, people delivered, people set free. That is what the gospel is. The gospel is always accompanied with signs and wonders, but God's got to get you to get out of the rut of the, it's the Greek mindset. Where it doesn't look for the manifestation of power, goes to reason. God is their mind, intellectual pride. And I'm just telling you, you can't reason with demons. You can't teach demons. Come on, somebody say that. You can't teach demons. They need to be forcefully evicted. Signs, wonders, and miracles go with the word. And let me just tell you what qualifies you. Being washed in the blood, praying his name, having faith. You can have an increase of faith tonight. You can go to another level tonight. You can just take the challenge I'm giving you. Don't just sit and say that miracles happen from somebody else. They're not supposed to. Oh, we need to bring them to Pastor Daniel, or Pastor Vince, or Pastor Austin. We need to bring it. No. How about you pray? You lay hands on them. How about you drive the devil out? I had somebody say to me not long ago, they said, would you come to our house? I said, well, sure, what's going on? Well, we have a lot of things flying around. There's devils. I said, okay. Why do you think that might be? I don't know. We had Pastor Vince come over. I said, well, that ought to have taken care of it. He said, yeah, that's what he said. Imagine that. I said, you guys, are you living for God? And they're like, well, we have this one thing. Well, this one thing is, I don't want you to try to figure out who it is. The one thing is a clear disqualifier to put you over in the devil's column. Yeah, we know we should. Yeah, you have no power. You just, if you don't want to start flying around, you don't want to be demonized, then, you know, you got to live right. Bump your neighbor and say, live right. Yeah, it's such a much better way of living than drinking blood. Living for Jesus is amazing. You know, there's nothing like peace. There's nothing like joy. When I lie in my bed at night, I'm just like, oh, thank you, Lord. I'm like, Lord, I love you. And like, Lord, do you want to say anything before I pass out and you give me godly dreams and visit me with angels? Is there anything you want to say? Yes. Oh, I need to repent for being a jerk to my wife. Oh, Karen, what? I'm so sorry. Okay. Or whatever. Come on, put your hand on your head and put your hand on your heart. Ask God if there's something you need to repent of. It's a lifestyle. Do you have anything out of order? Ask him. And if he shows you something, repent. And that might require some action too, doing something, making it right. Go to Acts 15. It's quite a discussion here in this text after much discussion. In fact, Peter got up, addressed him. Brothers, you know that for some time ago, God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips a message of the gospel and believe. Verse 8. Acts 15, verse 8. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving them the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. He did not discriminate between us and them, for he purified their hearts. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of the Gentiles a yoke? Now, this is regarding circumcision. He's talking to them, giving them a testimony about what God did. And God did all kinds of signs and wonders and miracles. I'm telling you, Christianity without signs, wonders, and miracles is a distortion. There's something wrong. You cannot separate the two. And yet a lot of people do. They excuse it away. Go to verse 12 of that same chapter. Well, verse 11, no, we believe it's through grace, the Lord Jesus, that we're saved just as they are. So there's not works, it's not circumcision. It's by grace. It's a free gift. And then he goes on to say in verse 12, are you all there? Acts 15, verse 12, the whole assembly became silent and they listened to Barnabas and Paul telling them about the signs and wonders God had done among the Gentiles through them. And I don't think it's like one or two stories. And then we were over this other village, and this lady came out shrieking. We laid hands on her. It was a devil got broken off. She got gloriously set free. Paul, tell about the one. Tell about the other one. Oh, that guy, he didn't have a leg, and bam, leg. Oh, and that little girl. I mean, they just go on to talk about the miracles. You need to have conversation about miracles. What is the great thing that God's done? Can he do it again? He can, and he wants to, but faith in his word activates signs and wonders and miracles. And if right now you want me to shut up, it's because you actually have something other than Can I preach in here? You need to be set free. Oh, shut up. You're bound. You're bound. You are bound. I'm irritating you right now, it's you. It's you. It's you that stands in the need of prayer. Not me. Not me. It's you. It's you. Nobody wants to be my friend. No kidding. Lift your hands to heaven all across this place. It's 8:31. Tell the children's ministry we'll be done around 10. Kidding. Sort of. Maybe. I don't know. Pastor Alex, would you jump on the keys? Is that okay? Did you get your little one all set there? Thank you, Pastor Alex. You're such a powerful minister of the gospel. And I haven't heard you play in a little bit. Love you, brother. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. Same scripture. The Apostle Paul's defending himself against enemies in the church. And I'm bringing application specifically to the text we read. He's defending himself against enemies in the church. The enemy in the church is saying, you should listen to Paul. He doesn't really talk very well. He doesn't preach good, John. He don't preach good. What does he know? Now, Apollos, he was a preacher. He was an orator. He was a lawyer, trained in speech. Paul couldn't talk that good. In fact, there's pictures of him. He just kind of looks sort of short. What has he got? Well, he wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. And the Apostle Paul is saying, it's not about how eloquent somebody is. Oh, I might not be eloquent, but lift your hands. You know, power. He had power. He had demonstration. Now, I've been so tied up in my earlier years about being eloquent. Beautiful points and illustrations. And I've been trained. I went to school and I've trained myself. You know, like, you know, now you have an illustration, a transitional sentence now. And there's teaching on how to preach. What about this? You go to seminaries and they become cemeteries. The power of the Holy Spirit is what is needed in this hour more than anything. And I love amazing preaching and teaching. Oh, I love a great illustration and a story and a revelation coming from the Word and the dynamics of the guy's voice. Love all that. That is does not break leukemia. That does not break demons. It doesn't set the captives free. It doesn't bring deliverance. Again, I'm not angry. I'm just intense tonight. Trying to break you into a new place. Demonstration of spirit. Look at this scripture. Go to 1 Corinthians 4:20. 1 Corinthians 4:20. If you're all there, give a big amen. Go from verse 18. Some of you become arrogant. Listen to this New Testament trash talk right here. Anybody know what trash talk is? David did trash talk to Goliath. I trash talk when I would play football. I see my brother Chris on the third row. We wrestled. He was a great wrestler. He would trash talk. You trash talk those guys. Come here, Chris. Anybody ever wrestle? Easy. So right before, they're like, the ref's there, you're gonna wrestle, shake hands. You remember this? And it would be, here's what we'd do. I'm gonna rip your arms off.
Yes.
And then, boom, you'd go. It's trash talk. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You're going down. I'm gonna hurt you. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. Some of you become arrogant as if I were not coming to you. You wait till dad gets home. Anybody ever heard that? When dad gets home, okay. But I will come, and very soon, if the Lord is willing. And then I'll find out not only how these arrogant people are talking, but what power they have. No, gee, come on, sample that. Are you catching the vibe here? They're talking trash about him. He's gonna take his missionary journey and he's gonna like, let's see what you got, what you got. I mean, what does that look like? That's like Holy Ghost drawdown. All right, here's a dead person, go ahead. We'll see what you got, what you got. Oh, what's the matter? Or are you gonna try to eloquent him to life? What's the matter, bro? Here comes a devil. Go ahead and give your flowery speech. See how that works. Ah! I don't know what the test is, but we'll see what power you have. I would like to be there when the Apostle Paul showed up. Here's Brother Gumflapper. He's the one that said you can't preach good and you don't have any power. Go ahead, tell him. It was fascinating. But the kingdom of God, listen. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. I want you to say that. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. And you could stutter, three quarters of your speech could be stuttering. It is irrelevant. It's faith in the power of God, the power of his name, the power of the blood. So many people dismiss themselves because they can't communicate real clearly, or they stutter over their words or their thoughts, or they can't quite get things out. All of that means nothing. All of it means nothing. Okay, you might not be elevated to the Eloquent Preachers Club and be called to go on TV with Brother and Sister Eloquent. But if you raise the dead, heal the sick, and set the captives free, and you bring people to Jesus, that is what it is all about. Wow. So his opponents are arrogant. And he says he comes, he's going to find out what power they have. So the kingdom of God is not about talk, it's about power. I know lots of people that talk with no power. I like to talk, but I like to flow in power too. I hope to flow in even more. Is there anybody else besides me? God, in the next few minutes, is going to touch people all across this place. He's been touching people all along. What's God saying to us? Simply put, there shouldn't be a separation between the preaching and the teaching of God's word and demonstration. They should go together. And to not have demonstration of signs and wonders. Now, it's up to God what kind of signs and wonders, but if you'll press for them, you'll believe for them, they will show up. It will manifest. Why? Because it's a confirmation of the fact. It's a sign that Jesus rose again from the grave, took the sins of mankind to all who believe on him, that they would not perish, but they would have everlasting life. It's a sign that there is a heaven, that in heaven, as it let it be on earth as it is in heaven, it's a sign. It's a sign that you don't have to be sick anymore. It's a sign that you don't have to be bound anymore. It's a sign that you don't have to be afflicted. You don't have to be in a position of hopelessness. It's a sign that God who raised the dead, heals the sick, sets the captives free, he'll release his power to you and through you to change the world. We need a display of his power with a clear teaching of the word of God about how Jesus was crucified for you and me. We need both. Both. You need the word and the spirit. If you just have the word, you're going to dry up. If you just have the spirit, you'll be screaming in post offices. Oh! And people just write you off as a freak. Even though you might get half of the word right. If you just have the word, you'll dry up. If you just have the spirit, you will blow up. You must have the word and the spirit to grow up. Bishop Bill Hammond, that's his quote. If you have the word, you'll dry up. If you have the spirit, you'll blow up. You need both to grow up.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.